Well, thank you, but let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Don't you just love him? He's just so good to us, so good. When we're, it was just such a joy today to watch you worship. And that you can sense the hunger for the presence of God. And I just love it when you look back in the congregation and the congregation is worshiping God. And there's just something that's so much bigger and greater than us. And that's the presence of God. And without the presence of God, there just really isn't much. We can hear a dead letter. But when there's the presence of God and when we understand who we are in Christ and who he is in us, it makes all the difference. We come in here knowing that he values us because of what he did for us. And therefore, we can come and approach the throne room boldly today and worship and praise God. And I know that everyone's at different people, at different places. And so Mother's Day is a mixed bag for so many people. But I love you and I thank you. I'm not nearly as funny as my husband. I happen to live with a funny man, but I have to tell you, he's not funny all the time. But most of the time. And I love him dearly. He's a good man of God, and I appreciate him. And I will say it over and over again. I thank God for the men of our church, and I mean that with all of my heart. I honor you. We women couldn't do what we do if it wasn't for the men understanding and recognizing the gifts, the talents that's in us and encouraging us. And so I'm so grateful that for my husband and that he sees that. He encourages it in me and has been such a cheerleader. And so today is the Mom's Day. It's not everybody's favorite time of the year, and there's just so many reasons why. You know, maybe your mom passed away recently, and you may have bad memories about your childhood, about your relationship with your mother. You may have longed to be a mother, and you weren't able to have any children of your own. But then there's something that I think that might be just a little worse even than that is your children may not contact you or may not honor you as a mother. There's pains to life, and there's all kinds of reasons why Mother's Day could be hard. But you know, it's not just the fact that we're mothers. It's a fact that God loved us so much, and he created us, and we are women, and God loves his women. And so it doesn't matter where exactly you are, mother, not mother. You are a woman, and God highly values you. And so we all may have different emotions today. And so many of our mothers, they're flying solo. They're raising their children on their own. And it's not easy. It's very hard. But we're so thankful for them. And one truth that we all have, and we all said, I think Pastor said it a while ago, we all had a mother. Without a mother, we would not be here. And so thank God for the mothers. And so this is a day that we can think and rethink our positions as a mother and for those around us and recognize the worth and the value of a mom. I'm so grateful and so thankful for moms. And so throughout Scripture, God used mothers to shape destinies. Moms are very valuable, not just in the Word of God, but very valuable today. And I look over our congregation today, and some of you I don't know as well as others, but I look out and I see the beautiful moms. I've done a couple of Mother's Day where we had the mothers, heroes of faith, and I can always look back and I see the heroes of faith sitting in this congregation. Some of you, I know you. I know the struggles that you go through. I know how hard it is sometimes, And we honor you, and we thank God for you that you don't quit, you don't give up, and that you keep pushing through. And some of you are sitting here today with very hard, hard times and things that's going on. And the Lord really impressed something upon me during the night, I suppose. But there's some moms I want to pray for here today. I feel like God's got a prophetic word for you. Anyway, I'm going to do my very best to to minister, but we may just minister the other way. We'll just wait and see what God has. But I know that he's speaking. But this service is not just for moms. It's for all that are sitting here, male, female. God's word is always good. God's word can always feed. God's word can always pierce something in our life that needs to be pierced, something that needs to be changed. The word of God can do that. And that's what we pray that God will do. But a mom, we're going to talk today about mothers teach truth. A godly mom will teach truth. Even some that don't have good relationships with God, but they're good moral women, they will do their best to teach truth. And thank God for that. Proverbs 31, verse 1, it just simply talks about King Lemuel said that the prophecy or the oracle, or an oracle that his mother taught him. And he was taught, according to Proverbs 31, he was taught before he ever wore a crown, before he ever ruled a kingdom, before he led people, a mother spoke truth into his life. Mothers usually and most often are the first teachers, the first prayer warriors in their home, and first examples of faith in their home. Children may forget a sermon that comes from the pulpit up here, but they rarely forget what was lived before them. Thank God for godly moms. And if you aren't the godly mom that you know you want to be, today's a good day. We're just going to make adjustments in our life because, you know, I believe that moms have so much that God puts inside of us that we are to give to our children and to our husbands and those around us. And so we remember one of the things, and my grandson, Corey, a lot of times when we have conversations through the years, he would always remind me. He'd say, Grandma, you remind me of Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and his mother Eunice. And he would bring that scripture and he'd say, you remind me of them because you've always talked to me about the Lord. You've always brought the Lord before us. And I believe that sometimes the greatest ministry in the world will happen at home, or in the kitchen, while mom's making breakfast, or while you're sitting around the table, or you're in the living room, or bedtime reading and praying with a child. Those are some of the greatest times of ministry going forth. Everyday moms and grandmothers, there's a ministry that is inside of us that God wants us to give out to those that are around us. And your children may be grown. You may not have any little grandchildren or great-grandchildren around you, but God still wants to use you to minister to others. I believe that when the world looks at our children, it's so easy to see weakness. But I believe that a godly mother can see potential. I believe that we can see that our children were made for so much more than what maybe they're experiencing in their life right now. There was a mom in the Old Testament that believed that her son was made for something besides death. She saw a deliverer. Other people saw a baby that didn't stand a chance because there had been a proclamation made that all baby boys were to be killed. But this mama took a chance and she kept her eyes on that child because she knew that Moses was made for much more than what the enemy wanted to do in his life. He was a deliverer. Hannah, where others saw barrenness, they would look at Hannah and they would see barrenness in their life and shame because she didn't have a child. But Hannah, she saw a promise. She knew that if she could just get to the presence of God, I'm telling you, mamas, it's still good today. And male and female, no matter who you are, if we can get into the presence of God, it will absolutely change our life. As a mother, what is our role? Do you know that by the time that your child is 18, Max, I hope you're taking notes, because a mother has had to handle an extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. Say, wow. That's per child. It's a lot. Mama, do women want to be more like men and lose the femininity that God gave them? I don't think so. It don't matter what the world is saying. I don't think so. I've always said, I'm so glad I wasn't a man, because I don't want the responsibility that the man has on his shoulders. Women, we need to understand that our men, they are going to stand before God and be responsible for how they treated their wife, their children, other children, and how they presented God into the home. So what do we women do? We pray for our husbands. We pray for the men in our family. We pray for them because the job that they have, God said, that's not the one that I want you to have. So we don't, you know, I'm glad I'm a woman. I'm glad I'm a mama. One of my greatest accomplishments was my children. And I'm so grateful for that. But God certainly recognizes women in positions of power, women who contributed to make the world a better place. And I look out here and I see women that are making the world a better place. You're doing your very best to be a godly woman, a godly mom. And you're a world changer. You're a history maker. Your children, if you're putting the right thing in them, they'll never forget what mama did. We all heard of Miriam. She was a woman that led people in praising God after the crossing of the Red Sea. I don't know about Miriam having children. I don't know. I can't tell you right now. A Bible scholar might be able to tell you. I don't know, but that's not what she was remembered for. She was remembered for a woman that had power and a woman that dared to praise God. And she began to lead the band as they crossing the Red Sea. Ruth, who put God first and became the ancestress of King David. What a mighty woman she was. Deborah, a brilliant judge in the land of Israel. Esther, who took her lives in her hands to plead for doomed people. How about the little widow who sustained the prophet Elijah, who made him a cake because she decided to trust the word of the prophet? Thank God for women that will be obedient. Their obedience will cause a change in their homes and in the lives of others. How about the little captive maid? Now, we don't hear about this little no-namer. But this was a young girl that was in captive, but she told Naaman's wife of the man of God who could cure Naaman of his leprosy. Thank God for women. Thank God for women that will speak up and say, oh, there is a cure. There is something that can be done. Thank God for this little nameless. All we know, she was a little captive maid. Isn't that interesting? How about the woman who anointed Jesus with expensive ointment? How about the poor widow whose gift of two mites, it got praise from Jesus? He spoke about it. Mary, who gave birth to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who saw an impossible situation. Mary saw the miraculous hand of God in her life. How about Mary and Martha, who served at the feet of Jesus? How about Mary Magdalene? Who brought the spice and who greeted the risen Savior and who received the first commission of go tell. Women, we are evangelists. Mothers, you're an evangelist. First of all, in your home, we are evangelists to tell our children and grandchildren about the goodness of God. On and on and on. We could go on. One of my favorite is the nameless woman at the well. All we know is that she was at the well, embarrassed, ashamed. And then when she took a drink of the living water, she became an evangelist. A godly mother will begin to tell what Jesus has done in their lives. And that's what God is looking for, is for women that will share the goodness of God. I believe that godly mothers will look at their children. It doesn't matter how they're behaving. It doesn't matter what they're saying. But you know there's so much more in them than what they see. And you will recognize the calling of God before anyone else recognizes it. There are warrior mamas in this house today. You're warring for your children. Some of them are in the home. I'm thinking of one little lady, and she's not here today, but I pray for her a lot. I've talked with her a lot. And she's really having a rough time. She is raising her children by herself. And it's not an easy road. But she keeps trying. She keeps showing up. She keeps being counted for. And God sees every prayer and hears every prayer that she prays. And I believe that God is going to turn some things around for mamas because we're believing God for it. There's a famous American humorist, and she's an author, and I think I told this story before, but I want to tell it again. It's one of my favorite. One of the sayings that she has, she's really funny. Her name is Irma Lewis Bombeck, and she has a lot of funny little remarks and all. And one of hers was, insanity is a hereditary. You catch it from your kids. So many times they want to say it's, well, that's what mom was like, but I think that one's backwards. But anyway, this is my favorite story that I've ever read that she tells, and I just want to share it with you today because I believe that this is how God feels about his women. And she tells that on the day that God created mothers, he had already worked along overtime, and an angel said to him, "Lord, you sure are spending a lot of time on this one." The Lord turned and said, "Have you read the specs on this model? She's supposed to be completely washable, but not plastic. She's to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She's to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She's to have a lap that will disappear when she stands up. She's to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. And she's supposed to have 6 pairs of hands." And the angel said, 6 pairs of hands? That's impossible." "It's not the 6 pairs of hands that bother me," says the Lord. "It's the 3 pair of eyes. She's supposed to have 1 pair that sees through closed doors so that whenever she says, 'What are you kids doing in there?' she already knows what's going on. She knows what they're doing in there. She has another pair in the back of her head to see all things that she's not supposed to see. But she must see them. And then she has 1 pair right in front that can look at a child that just goofed, messed up, and she might be a little bit angry at him. But she will communicate love and understanding sometimes without saying a word." "That's too much," said the angel. "You can't put that one in one model. Impossible. Why don't you rest for a while and resume your creating?" "No, I can't," says the Lord. "I'm close to recreating someone very much like me. I've already come up with a model that can heal herself when she's sick, who can feed a family with 1 pound of hamburger, and who can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower." The angel looked at the model of the motherhood a little more closely and said, "She's too soft." "Oh, but she's tough," said the Lord. "You'd be surprised to see what all this mom can do." "Can she think?" asked the angel. "Not only can she think," says the Lord, "but she can reason. She can compromise, and she can persuade." And the angel reached over and touched her cheek. "This one has a leak. I told you couldn't put that much in one model." "That's not a leak," said the Lord. "That's a tear." "What's a tear for?" asked the angel. The Lord said, "Well, it's for joy. It's for sadness. It's for sorrow. Is for disappointment, but it's also for pride." No more argument from the angel. God made us the way that he made us for a purpose and a reason. We're going to talk just a little bit about Luke chapter 2. This is the whole Christmas story kind of thing, but we're just going to take a little bit of a journey just for a few minutes about the story of Jesus when he grows up a little bit. He's growing up in the wisdom and the grace of God. And every year, his parents, they do what they do. They go to the Feast of the Passover. So every year, they make this same trip and go back and forth. And they travel with their family. They all go together. It is a big deal. It's still a big deal. But in that day, they had to travel many miles. They traveled with family. And so they take off and they go. And they go to the Feast of the Passover. And they go and they do what they do. And then it was time to leave. And so here goes mom and dad. And here goes the family. And here goes everyone. And they're taking the trip and they're headed back home. And so after a little while, all of a sudden, I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us if it's mom or dad that discovers, where's Jesus? Who? I don't know who said that. Maybe a child run up and said, where's Jesus at? Well, I don't know. It kind of reminds you of Home Alone, you know? Well, I don't know. And they begin to look to find Jesus, but they couldn't find Jesus. They went to all of those that were traveling, and they could not find him. Jesus was not with them. They had to finally settle. He's not with them. So what does mama do? What does dad do? They go back. They travel back, and they go, and they begin to look for Jesus. Do you know that it took them 3 days before they found Jesus? Can you imagine the panic on that mother's heart? That mother who had supernaturally bore this child, and she wanted to protect him. She wanted to protect him from embarrassment and shame. And she knew things in her heart about Jesus. And so being Jesus' mom couldn't possibly have been easy. But anyway, they go back. And verse 46 says that they looked for 3 days for Jesus while they were in Jerusalem before they found him. And they found him in the temple listening and asking questions of the teachers. Well, the teachers, they were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And in the Word of God even says that Mary and Joseph's like, huh? Really? They were amazed too. But there was something that was a little bit stronger, and that was Mama. And Mama said to him in verse 48, she says, son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. What mother wouldn't have? You got to put yourself in that position. And how would you have felt when you've been panicking that your son, you can't find your son? And I can only imagine that Jesus was a little torn because I'm about my father's business. Well, you may be about your father's business, but you didn't tell your mom. And you're supposed to let your mom know when you're going to be late, because moms have this intuition inside of them that they can't help it, but those eyes are roaming and wondering, where's my child? And so this was a situation, and I believe that Mary bears all the marks of a loving and protective mom because she'd went through a lot. But verse 51, I love this, says that Jesus went with them and was submissive to them. Jesus went with them and he was submissive to them. That speaks a lot. I know that Jesus was doing what Jesus was beginning to do, but Jesus was not honoring his parents. And they were telling him in so many words that a parent does. But the Word of God shows us that he was submissive. And I'm sure he thought, you know what? I should have told you. I should have done that. And he went on with him. And there was no more of those situations. But I believe that Mary's heart, because she knew that there was something coming at the end of his life. And we know that with our children, sometimes they do things that we wish they wouldn't do because we know that there's pain that's involved in it. And there's situations that come against them that's no fault of their own. And it hurts the heart of a parent. the heart of a mother. And so a mother's love is concerned about safety and security at all time. When Mary and Joseph took Jesus into the temple, and Simeon blessed Jesus, a child, and the parents, and then he began to prophesy. Do you remember what he prophesied that day over the child? Prophesied the word that there was going to be a time when Mary's heart was going to be so pierced because of the love that she has for her son. It was spoken, it was prophesied ahead of time. And so all of these things she had in her heart, she carried them. There's things about your children you carry in your heart as a mother. There's things that you prayed about through the years for your mothers. And a mother knows the power of prayer. I believe that there are people that can preach powerfully. There are others that can sing beautifully. But I don't believe that there's anything more powerful than a praying mom. Because God has called us to feel. We feel in ways. God put that inside of us. Those tears are for a reason. And I believe that there's many testimonies that come out that says, my mother prayed for me. Many of you had a praying mom, and your mom prayed for you. And you are a testimony of that today. She prayed through rebellion. She prayed you through sickness, prayed through addictions, and she prayed through prodigal seasons of your life. Long after others quit, mom just kept praying. You know, before there was a prophet in Israel, there was a mother at the altar. Remember that? Remember that Hannah said, I will give you back my child. She was praying, and she made a promise to God, and she gave back her child. There was many that, in the days that we lived in, through the word of God, and we'll find out how godly these women were. But I just want to say today that there's godly women sitting in this house today. There are godly moms that are crying out for their children, and you don't have the answers. There are things that come in life that we cannot explain. There are things, there are seasons that catch us off guard. And you can't explain them. We as a family, as you know, just a couple weeks ago, two Sundays ago, I believe today, we got word that our great-granddaughter had drowned. You don't even think you're not hearing the words. You know, it's not real. You just don't, you can't comprehend it in your mind. You can't. And those are things that happen in people's lives. But there was something about our little Naomi that blessed us at her funeral. Her love for God, her love for church, her love. But her mom's heart is broken. Her grandmother's heart is broken. Her family, we all still, it's just hard to imagine. But mamas, your prayers are so important. We've got to understand that there's so many things in life that can take us unaware, take us by surprise. But I believe that our prayers can also change things around. And that's what God wants to do. You've got a tough job, moms, regardless of your role in society. Many of you work extra jobs, and you come home, and you still fix dinner for your family. You still try to take care of things. It's not an easy thing. And we're living in a world where there's so much that's against the home, so much against motherhood. You know, we went through a period of time where it became more important to be a professional person than it was to be a mom. But something is happening in our country. And the young men and the young women are beginning to say, we want to be moms and we want to be dads. We want to raise a generation to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So there is a switch. There is a change that is happening, that is coming back to our country. I believe it, that it's going to happen, because there is so much that's against the home and against motherhood. Drugs and alcohol, sexual diseases, crime, pedophiles, divorce, abuse, identity crisis. Have you ever heard of such a time when there's so much identity crisis and the devil will lie to our children? That's why it's so important that we have those three sets of eyes. It's so important that you see what you need to see. It's so important that we know what's going on in our child's life. One of my favorite stories in the Word of God, I'm going to share just a little bit in closing here in just a minute, because I really feel that God wants to heal some hurts today. There may be some of you today, your hurts are really deep because you didn't have a good relationship with your mom. You look back, you know, I didn't. I wish I had. And I also wished, as I got older, and even after I wrote the book on the miracle of the breaking, the Lord began to show me more. And I really wished that I could have understood where she come from. It didn't make it right what she did, what she said. It didn't make those things right. But I wished that I'd had the opportunity to let her know that I loved her anyway. I didn't understand the pain that obviously she was going through. I didn't understand it. It was a young girl that felt attacked all the time. But see, God did such a work in me step by step, and he's still working. And he does such a work on our hearts that I'm not trying to say that what someone does to us is okay, because it wasn't okay. There was a lot of mental abuse. There was a lot of using me and burdened me down as a child and throughout life. And there's things, you know, and you wanted approval, but you never got approval. And it didn't mean that she didn't love me. She just didn't love me rightly. But as time went on and as time goes on, I realized that I truly forgave my mom. It was a process. It took me a while. I really did. And then I began to see, I wish someone could have helped her. I wish somebody could have helped her see. I wish somebody could have made her better. And that's when I knew God was really doing the work in me. Because until then, it was just unfair. I know this is heavy for a Mother's Day. But I also know what God, through the night, the last couple of nights. Because, see, God needs his women and his men free. We need to be free so we can do what God has called us to do. And what has happened to you is not fair. It's not right. But it cannot continue to define our actions and our reactions. And neither can it stop us from what God wants us to do. So sometimes we have to get real honest with what's going on in here. What is it in the soulish realm that needs to be healed so that I can be the godly mom that God wants me to be? I wanted to be everything that I did not have. I wanted to be that. But God says, I want you to be more than that. I want you to have the compassion that I have. And that wasn't easy. That was a process. See, forgiveness is a process. You make a decision first. Pastor Daryl and I made a decision because we could never have gone on farther in ministry had we not learned to forgive. And we didn't feel forgiveness for quite some time, but we made a decision and we began to walk toward it. It has taken years to get to when we did the life application that I began to be able to see from a different perspective than I had ever seen. And that was that person that has hurt you, that person that has dishonored you and done you wrong, they were wrong. But God wants us free. God wants his women to be able to be the moms that God has called us to be, because God has got good plans for us. He's got an anointing upon our lives, and he wants to use us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. The enemy attacks mothers because mothers shape generations. Isn't that interesting? When you look through the Word of God and you read about all the women, the moms, they shape generations. We still talk about Lois and Eunice. They were so important. And all the women that in the Word of God, they're just so important. God's women are important to him. Jesus, he was our advocate. I mean, he promoted the women. He didn't condemn them. He ministered to them. And that's what God wants to do. See, families are hurting. If the enemy can weaken the home, he can weaken the generations around us. And that's why Scripture repeatedly shows attacks. But I believe that a praying mom can alter the future of a family line. Do you know, Mom, that you can change? You can keep praying. You can pray more. Spend more time with God. And you can change that hereditary thing that's been in the family. I believe that there's such power in a praying mom. And I know that God hears. And I know that God cares. And he wants to set us free. The mama that has taught me so much is a Shunammite mama. What an impression she has made upon my life. Because it's one of the first messages way back when that I preached, and God just got such a hold of my heart. The actions and reactions that she had in her life helped form me as a woman. Because she felt like her ministry was just to take care of the prophet when he come through. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 26. Read the story. You've heard it preached if you've been around church very long at all. But if you haven't, just go read it or go read it again. It's such a powerful, powerful story. And she wanted a child, but she didn't feel like she could ever have one, so she wasn't making it an issue about it. Do you know that there are things in your life that you have not made an issue about? And then God knows. And he sees your heart. And he saw a woman that was serving. She says, let's build a place. Her and her husband. Let's build a room for the prophet, because he comes through and we've been feeding him. We've been giving him a place. Let's build him his own place. When we build a place for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the presence of God in our life, when you find a place where you, mama, can get, God sees. She built room for the presence of God. She built a room for the prophet to come through. She didn't ask anything of him. She didn't want anything of him. She just was doing what was right, making room for the presence of God. See, godly mothers are truth tellers, and I'm telling you the truth today. I thank God for my children and my bonus family. I've been so blessed with children and grandchildren. And then my spiritual children. Oh my goodness, how blessed. And what a gift God has given me. I'm just so blessed. But even things that I haven't asked for, God has given me. See, that's what he does. Things that we don't even ask for, but he knows what our hearts desire. And sometimes we don't even want to utter it. But God knows. There's many things that can cause stress, just like we told you a couple weeks ago, the loss of a child. There's many ways to lose children. You lose them through tragic deaths sometimes. And I know a family sitting here that lost a child through tragic death. It's hard to believe, isn't it? When you're called and that child all of a sudden is gone. But somehow God gives you the strength and you keep going. But then there are losses to broken relationships. And I see you. I know you. I know that there's some mothers that's hearts are broken because of broken relationships. But there come a day when the Shunammite woman, you read about her, the prophet told her she was going to have a child, and she's like, don't mess with me. She hadn't said a word. He said, no, the next year when I come by, you're going to have a child. And she's like, if you don't mean it, don't say it. The next year he came by, there was a child. And the story goes, and you've heard it, you know it. Child grew up, got old enough to go out in the field with his dad. And the child died. And the father, he wanted him to go get the mother. Go get the mother. And the mother said, bring that child here. And she went and laid that child down on the prophet's bed. She laid that child, that promise, on the word of God. A word that she hadn't asked for, but that was a gift. She laid that baby down, that young boy down. Word got to the prophet. And he sent the servant to go find out. But this mama was on business. And she sets out on her own. Elisha didn't know what happened, but he knew something wasn't right. Because she was on a mission. And so he sent his servant out to greet this well-to-do woman with three questions. And see, I suggest to you today that these questions are relevant just as much as they were 3,000 years ago. The first one was, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? First of all, Mama, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? We know the story about how he went back and how that child was raised up. But her response was what changed my life. And her response was, all is well. Every situation that I've come up against in my life, the Lord has reminded me. Even though some aren't the outcomes that I wanted, sometimes they're not at all what I wanted. But I've learned that in Him that all is well. Would you stand to your feet this morning? See, I believe that what God says about our families are true. See, I believe that this is a season where the prophetic flows freely. I believe this is a season where the harvest is ripe. Your children are, they're a lot closer to coming home than you can imagine. This is a season where prodigals return home. This is a season where vision is renewed. The enemy tried to do everything he could to take your vision away. Tried to take your promise away and say, it's impossible. This is a season where dreams are fulfilled. Do you know that one of the reasons that I know that I know that I know that it's true is because there has never been so much pushback, because the enemy knows it's true. Because see, when the word of the Lord goes forth, when it's spoken, and when we hook up to it, the enemy, the only thing he has to do, that the only thing he can try is to distract. The only thing he can do is use things that try to keep us from the promises of God. This is a new season where strength increases. Growth multiplies. That's not just how many comes to the church, but that means, is our family growing? Is our family getting closer to God? Are we praying more for them? Are we seeing growth in our own personal life? Are we changing? Are we acting and reacting different than we did before? See, I believe that our growth is multiplying. It isn't much fun what we're going through, because we have to face some issues of ourselves. We have to ask ourselves some hard questions. So how are things with you? Can I ask that today? How are things with you? We have to be honest to get what God said. We want growth to multiply in our life. How are things with your husband? How are things with your wife? How are things with your relationships? How are things? What do I have in my heart, oh God, that you are not pleased with? How are things with the child? See, I believe that we can all say all is well when we surrender. I believe when we surrender and say, God, I trust you more than anything. It's a new season where joy replaces every tear. Do you remember that mom? She had the ability. She cried because disappointments. She cried because there was a lot of pain. But she also cried because of joy. She rejoices. I believe it's a new season, a song of restoration. That as we go about our way, we're going to find ourselves singing songs of restoration, a new song unto the Lord. Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? Is it well? Is what we've been giving out, is it good? Today's a day to make some adjustments. I believe that with all of my heart. Because, see, we were made for so much more than what the enemy wants us to buy into. Made for so much more. Thank you. you, Father.